Okay, so it says civil law, a person should not make this is pretty, this stuff is pretty easy to learn in the next section. Well, yes, tefillah is a command, should not say masai, mashlichi, or hilachloi. A person should not be viewed as a burden. Lefichach, therefore, tzach, leshev, achar, tefillah, v'yachakach, yipoter, an incredible halacha, which unfortunately many of us have an opportunity to do. When davening is over, sit down. After you finish davening, don't leave. A person should sit down for a few moments to show that it was not a burden for me to daven, and now I got to get out of here. Chachamim harishayim hayu shayim. The earlier chacham would delay sha'achas kaidim tefila. They would come to the Beis HaKnesses an hour early, the sha'achas the achar tefila, and they would remain after davening is over. They would remain there an additional hour. Umarichim b'tefilasam sha'achas. And they would daven for 1 hour. So the amount of preparation and the amount of lingering was double in total than the amount of time they spent davening. Isn't that amazing? The hachana, they started with chassidim. Chassidim, there, one of the big things about chassidim is hachana. It's one of the hallmarks of chassidim versus litvak. The mesnagdim is preparation. Preparation is, it's all in the preparation. That's why, going back to the traditional chassidim, talking about the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov.
First blood in Ein Omdin, the fifth parak, it says it takes 3 hours for each davening. And what it's supposed to be,
9 hours of davening?
Yeah.
Toiros Nechanases.
You have no time to live.
No time to live.
You have no time to learn.
No time to learn. So it's not now. So the Gemara says because they were Hasidim, they were Tzadikim, so they had Siyat L'Shmaya. They did in a few moments. They did in a few moments what other people would take a whole day to do. What does that mean exactly? What I don't know what that means exactly. But whatever it means, there's such a thing called preparation, Hachana, and that's where the L'Shem Yichud comes from. Okay, the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov were very, very intensely involved in reciting before you do every mitzvah, a l'shem yichud to unify yudke bevavke. Hashem's name is made of four letters, yudke vavke. Yudke represents one thing, vavke represents another thing. Not for now. And by doing a mitzvah, there is a unification. You are bringing to shleimus this oilam hazeh. It is fulfilling its tafkid by injecting Kedusha into this world by doing the mitzvahs, and that's called the unification of Yudke with Vavke, and it's a hachana. And unfortunately, we, the misnagdim, do not dwell upon the L'Shem Yichud. We've mentioned this many times, there's one major exception. There's one major exception, and that is tefillin. There's no excuse for a person not to say the L'Shem Yichud before you put on tefillin. Well, L'Shem Yichud Tefillin is a very beautiful, there's a lot of Torah, all the words, exactly what it says there in the L'Shem Yichud. But there's something very, very powerful to this principle of preparing for davening, and that's all nichlal in what it says here, the Sefer HaChassidim, that a person should not view davening as a burden, he should prepare. And part of preparation that we can do b'zman hazeh is at least to come a few minutes early and to say once in a while, a L'Shem Yichud. And when davening is over, not to run away, to learn a little bit, or even in the back of the after davening, there are so many different things that a person could say, Tehillim, a person could say the Sheish Zechirois, the Animamins, can say the Parashas of a year, or the Parashas of Parnasa, the Parashas of Teshuva. There are so many beautiful things in the back of the Siddur, all of those things, a person would pick and choose what appeals to him, what resonates with him, and recite those things after davening. Then he is fulfilling what it says in the Chazal, that a person should show that davening is not a burden by delaying. Do not be the first one out. To be the asara rishonim to leave the shul. Okay, not to be from the
Maybe it depends on where you're going. If you're going to learn, then maybe you should leave.
Not necessarily. Just because you're going to learn doesn't mean there's still ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. There are two principles. There are two amudim. Okay, there are two principles in Yadus, tefillah and learning. They are both equally important. Person should not say, I'm a Talmud Chacham, Toirasai, Umnasai, I don't need to daven. There are no people like that in our generation. Those people are gone. No such thing anymore. Yes, say, Toirasai, Umnasai, I don't need to daven. Today, both things are equal. There is Tzvila and there is and there is learning. And we always say over there, when a person davens, he speaks to Hashem. When he learns, Hashem speaks to man, speaks to Adam. Your learning is only as good as your davening. And your davening is only as good as your learning. They're totally zeb zeb, they're two sides of the same coin. The shlemos of avodas Hashem is in both, is in a proper balance between devotion to learning and your devotion to davening. If a person is lacking one, it's a very big problem. Okay, it's a very, we mentioned when we discussed in Parashas Toldos, simonim, what is something to look for in a potential zivug? You want to know about a boy or a girl. So one of the very important things is, how does he daven? If you really want to have, a flavor of what a person is like, ask, does he come to minyan on time? Does he daven? What's the tsura of his davening? Where does he daven? Does he daven every day in the minyan factory? Or does he daven in a yeshiva, in the Mokum Torah, where they only have one minyan? Okay? Only one minyan. Isn't that amazing? I'll show you one minyan. There's something to it. Okay? I mean, one minyan. Instead of going to a minyan factory where you daven Psukim the Zimra in this room, and then you move into this room for the main part of davening because the other minyan left, and then you move back into the third room. And if you come a little bit late, so you chop a little here, a little bit there, and it's rotating doors. Obviously, there's a need for this. People are busy. People have tzrachim. But on a regular basis, to go, this is your life, it's very, very, very sad. When this is what happens. I always remember this story. I remember I once went to shul. I once went to a minyan factory in minyan. I saw there a very chashuv person, very distinguished person who had a reputation as being a very big talmid chacham. And I saw him there come late and leave early. And I made a cheshbon that he davened the whole davening in less than 18 minutes. So I came home and I told my mother,
Shachris.
So I was very surprised. Very surprised that this is not what I would expect from a person who has such a reputation as being a big Talmud Chacham. So I told my mother. I said, I couldn't believe it. This is the big Reisa Talmud Chacham over here. Look what he did. He davened the whole thing like Mam Shag nothing. Even a boy in high school that would do this, they would throw him out of high school. What kind of davening is this? So my mother said to me, you know he has 14 children. You know that, and there's some of them. A lot of them are still at home. They're young. When you have 14 children, you learn how to daven very fast. So my mother was melamed zechus on this person. You can't judge the book by its cover.
Not by its cover, you can't judge it.
As Rabbi Meir Zlatowicz says, whoever made that statement did not try to sell books. You can't judge a book by its cover, but if you're in the book business, you would never say that.
It makes a big difference
what the cover looks like. Going further, v'shikar new halacha. A person who's intoxicated, okay, this is Nogei on Purim, or even any other time, a person has taken too much to drink, al yispalel, a person who is intoxicated to the degree where he would not dare stand lifnei ha-melech. If he was invited to stand in the presence of a king of melech, boser v'dam, it would be an embarrassment for him to stand to be in such a matziv. He would not do so. That already is in the state where he's not yoytze his davening. V'mispalel tefilosoi toyeva b'neish ein loy kavana. He cannot possibly have kavana when he is in a state of shikar, being intoxicated. Therefore, choyzer mispalel b'kavana. You have to daven a second time. Person davens mincha and he realizes he was drunk, and then later in the day there's still time to daven mincha. He's mechuyif to daven mincha again. After he calms down from his state of intoxication. Next, shasui al yispalel. Okay, the im yispalel tefilasai tefibaletzia shasui. Shasui means the person only had a cup of wine. He's not intoxicated. He's a little bit giddy. A little bit. He had a little bit more than he should have. So therefore he cannot drive. He's already past the point where he's not allowed to drive an automobile. But he's not at a state where it would be an embarrassment for him to stand lifnei melech and boss of Adam. So such a person lichatchila should not daven shmona esrei, but v'im hispalel tefila say tefila. B'diavad it's kosher. He does not need to daven again. Avol shikah person who's really drunk to the degree where it would be an embarrassment. She'eni yachol amul double from b'fnei melech. Then or let's say yachol. He explains. He gives us the definition. Ezeu shikor. I'm sorry. She'eni yachol amul b'fnei melech. What is shasui? Yachol dab b'fnei melech ve'ena mistabesh. And he will not slip. He'll speak in clear, coherent sentences. The al bichein hoil v'shasa revius yayin. Since he has already consumed revius of yayin, al yispalel he should not daven ad she yafikat yeinem elav until he removes the wine from himself. And this nogeh halachal ma'is on Purim. On Purim, people have what to drink. Some people have what to drink. Even though today the very machbin yeshiva boys try very hard, they should not drink anything at all. Because of the slippery slope syndrome, one cup leads to chaos, and therefore, but if a person on Purim doesn't have water to drink, so he has a problem with davening mincha and davening ma'ariv. He has to take a nap, or he has to eat something else in order to dilute, in order to take away the toikef of the intoxication, so that he can properly daven mincha ma'ariv, and it should not be a bracha levatola. Next, a person should not daven mincha shachris mitach sech from schoik. Reish balas. What's reish balas? Some type of levity. V'lemitach kalus roish. V'leitzonus. V'lemitach sicha. V'lemitach meriva. Don't get into a fight with someone and then go daven. V'lemitach kas, anger. Elemitach divrei Torah. Shein sarach la'ayin bohem. Only light divrei Torah that does not require your mind to wander. Kigoyin halachais psukois. Simple halachais. Because what's the point? The point is a person will not be able to concentrate. A person just had a major fight with his friend. He's not going to be concentrating on the words of the Shemona Esrei. He's going to be thinking about what has happened. The person just saw a good comedy show. He's going to be laughing the whole Shemona Esrei. He'll be thinking about what he saw 5 minutes ago. If a person just went to a very deep shir, a very complicated shir, his mind will be spinning in the lumpness of the shir. He will not be able to concentrate. Next, Hayolach Besfina, Makam Sakana, Makam Gilutei Chayos, Velistim, Vehigia Zman Tefila. What happens? A person is in a place where he cannot concentrate because he's in a dangerous place. So here we have a tefillah, a short tefillah, mispalel bracha achas, one bracha. The whole Shmoyne Esrei is one bracha. In the art school Sidur, I believe they have it in the back. After Shachris, bracha achas, havineinu, v'zohi. So the bracha, baruch atah Hashem lokeinu melech olam. He starts the bracha, and then in the middle of the bracha it says, tzarchi amcha yishol merubim. Their needs are great many. Vidatam kitzara, they have a limited attention span. Yiratzen milufanach Hashem Elokeinu Elokeinu Seinu shetaspik luchol echav yach kdei parnasasai. You shall give everyone what they need. Luchol givia givia dei machsoira. Everybody, a body. Givia means a body. Everybody, every person. Luchol echav yach luchol givia givia. Why do we separate echav yach and givia? I do not know. Every givia, everybody dei machsoira. Vi'atoy beinecha say. And you do Hashem what is good in your eyes. Baruch atah Hashem, shomea tefillah. This is not havineinu. This is different tefillah. This is not havineinu. The havineinu is when you say three brachas. The first bracha, the end bracha, and you say the middle bracha. Havineinu. This is a different tefillah. If a person does not have the ability to daven, so you should say this here outside. That's what it says. The person, it can happen. A person is in a dangerous place. He only can say this. That's what he says. Umispalel kishu hoylech. And the person will say this too when he's traveling. If you're able to stand, this does not exempt you from Shemona Esrei. If this is all that you said, either when you were traveling or you stopped for a moment, it does not exempt you from the Shemona Esrei. And when you return to a place, you shall be mispalel tefillah kitakonasa yud ches brachas. Now, what do you do on an airplane? On an airplane, many places can say on an airplane the best thing to do is to sit in your chair and daven the entire davening, even the Shemona Esrei, while you are sitting, and not go and make a minion in the back of the plane. Now this today has become a very, very big issue, as you all saw with the scandal which happened with El Al. Okay, my personal two cents. I want to provoke you over here. I think it is such a chil Hashem for these firm people to sue El Al for $2.5 million. I was shocked out of my mind. It was a very bad thing what happened. Who's to blame? You fight about it all the time. But to go so far and to sue a Jewish airline for $2.5 million, for who are they suing, by the way? Only the Haredim. Only the Haredim on the airplane are suing. The Chilonim are not suing. Okay, they're making two classes. The religious Jews versus the non-religious Jews. This is my opinion. You can argue with me.
What happened?
There was a scandal on Thursday. On Thursday, El Al, the plane was delayed. Why it was delayed? Why? You can go. Everyone tell you another story why it was delayed. It was on their fault, no one's fault. And the people on the airplane realized they're not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael in time for Shabbos. So they spoke up to the crew. We want to get off the plane because we're not going to reach Eretz Yisrael on time. So they were negotiating, maybe yeah, maybe no. They said yeah, and all of a sudden the plane just taxied off and took off. And they were very disturbed. Why did that happen? There's a whole story why that happened. Alright, there's a machloikis, what happened, v'chulu, who's right, who's wrong, who knows, and then, so what are they going to do? They're going to stop in Athens, and they're going to rent them hotel rooms, they can get off, and they'll spend Shabbos in Athens. They didn't do that, whatever happened, so that didn't happen either.
They did land in Athens.
Okay, so they went, Ugly machloikis, where there are videos of the whole fight. He said this, he said that, El Al says this, going on for a few days to get the story straight. What exactly happened? After all the dust settles, today is a new announcement that the Haredim on the airplane have officially suing El Al Airline for $2.5 million. And each one of the passengers, only the Haredim will each receive approximately $3,500 from this whole thing. So I read this. I'm just telling you my personal opinion. You can disagree with me. And I hope you speak up. You tell me privately. What a chil Hashem! What a disgusting thing! You want to go fly on Friday? You want to on Thursday? You want to go land? You're cutting it so thin. Even though El Al, they tell you they're not going to fly on Shabbos. We all know what happens anyway. You have no one to blame but yourself for going and flying 5 minutes before Shabbos.
Right.
And now you want to go turn the tables and go sue them? So and you want to blame them? Okay, you want to blame them, fine. But to go sue them, everybody say, in Halacha there is no grounds. As far as I know, in Halacha there are absolutely no grounds in Halacha to sue a person, to sue for millions of dollars. This is a secular thing in the United States. And the spread to the whole world, that if someone says boo to you, so you sue them for $10 million, you sue them, and the goyim do it. Listen, so if you live in a goyish world and you want to go sue goyim, okay, you can sue goyim. The goyim sue you. But for Jews, to go sue Jews?
Where are they suing, in here or in Israel?
Wherever. In Israel, probably in the United States also. It's all international. Whatever it is. And who is suing? Only the Haredim are suing. We only care about Shabbos. We couldn't care less that on the plane there are another 100 Jews that are not observant. The whole thing is so ugly. It is so ugly. Listen, my opinion. I don't know the details.
They're suing for damages.
They're suing because they were misled. Because El Al did not let them off the plane when they were not able to go for Shabbos.
I'm going to tell you something about policy. If people leave the plane, their luggage has to be taken off also. So that could take hours upon hours.
So they have no business being on the plane. I know you can argue. You're presenting one of 20 arguments. They're fighting about this. Who's wrong? That's irrelevant. That's not our discussion now. My discussion now is what my opinion. I only can speak for myself. What a chutzpah! What a chil Hashem! How dare a frum person sue a Jewish airline who represents, who is owned by the state of Israel? 51% of El Al is owned by the state of Israel. How dare a frum Jew sue an airline, a Jewish airline, for millions of dollars, which has absolutely no makar in halacha to do such a thing. This is kineged kol haTorah kula in the name of Shabbos, when you are a pasheya for going on an airplane 5 minutes before Shabbos.
Absolutely.
What a chutzpah sheba chutzpah. Now I'm telling you this for a very important reason. As I've done with this halacha, today is not like 20 years ago. Everybody say, please. Today I want to say something. I've been flying recently a couple of times. Today, it's my opinion, you can disagree with me, all you want, I'm just telling you my today is not like 20 years ago. 20 years ago, when you go on an airplane, you want to make a minion in the back. Oh, you want to make a minion. They never liked it. You're in the way. You went in the way. Then you want to go make a minion. All right, so listen, the collateral damage is very little, if any. Maybe you have a right to make a minion. You know, people should have we also have rights. We also have rights to live. So God, people, they sit there and they smoke and they do all these crazy things. So I can go down for a few minutes, a bonding for 15 minutes. Please, come on. Okay, fine. But today, every yokel has a smartphone. And everyone is online, on Facebook, on Twitter. It's a global village. When you make an affirm, people today are under the highest degree of scrutiny that can possibly be. And especially on a plane, every other day there's a scandal. A man doesn't want us next to a woman. It's an explosive environment, an airplane. It's an explosive environment. Everyone's very tense. You're traveling for 12 hours in an enclosed environment. People go crazy. To go today, to go to the back and make a minion is really, you're really setting yourself up for major, major chilul Hashem.
From that place already, you have to turn it off.
Today,
most
people do.
Everybody say. Today, no, not necessarily. People are always looking to break the rules. The Paiskim all across the board are very, very clear. When you're traveling to Eretz Yisrael, if you're so makbid on davening with a minion, then only arrange a flight where you'll be able to daven all of your tefillos with a minion. If you find yourself arranging to fly in a plane where you're not going to be able to daven with a minion when you land or before you take off, then realize you're going to be davening b'yachidus and you're going to be sitting down in your chair when you recite the Shemona Esrei. To go look behind you and think, oh, you know, coast is clear. We can go arrange a minion over here for 10 people. I can go pull together 10 people to go make a minion. You don't realize that 95% of the time, something will go very, very wrong. And someone will get very, very annoyed. And there will be a chilul Hashem. And being already that in the media, I don't know if you read these things in the media, but it's a curse, this internet, where every little thing is all over the place. Every little thing is all over, the whole world knows about it. You're setting yourself up for a major, major chorban. And therefore...
I know, Rabbi,
yes.
I fly, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times. And the last few years, it's been on El Al. Most people daven at their seats. And the people who do get up, they go to an area without a minion. And the once or twice there has been a minion, it's because they ask the stewards.
Okay,
people are not doing things on their own, in my experience.
Okay, you're right. You fly all the time.
I don't
know,
all the time.
I can still stand for
Shemona
Esrei right now.
What you're describing is going on, I don't see is going on.
Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. I remember this years ago.
Years ago?
And I flew recently. And I flew recently and someone wanted, and people came to me. I flew recently. I went last. I went not along with Eretz Yisrael. And I was on the plane. And people came, approached me. And they said, we want to make a minion. You want to come to the back. We want to make a minion. So I said, no, I'm not coming. But they did it.
Okay.
They always did it. So okay, fine. Sure. Fine. But I'm just saying is today, years ago when I used to fly, who was at a minion? Went into the back. I mean, it's a joke, though. To me, the whole minion was a total joke. You can't hear a word they say. They done it so fast. And the whole thing. So you say it was better than nothing. It's better than sitting in your chair. Maybe, yeah. Maybe you're right. All right. But that was years ago. When it was a different environment. Today, no, not 4/11. Today, it's just for some reason, it's become a very tense environment. A man sitting next to a woman, and delays, and Shabbos. The airplane today has become, for some crazy reason, it's become a very, very intense environment.
I want to bring to your attention that I can't talk for everyone on the plane, but many people do fly back to Eretz Yisrael on Thursday, they pick their flight because they're working here all week. They want to be home with their family on Shabbos. So you have a number of people doing that. And the airlines tell you...
Okay, we're not getting into the debate. That's our discussion. You're right. You're right.
What do you mean? You said it's terrible that people fly on Thursday.
It's halacha. There's a halacha. Erev Shabbos. Erev
Shabbos. It's supposed to land in the morning.
No.
If you're working here the whole week in America, there's a very great... El Al, I think, was rated recently. I saw the worst for on time. The worst. Listen, you have to make a parnasa. Very good. They're halachas. If you caught on the plane, so you big deal. So you caught on the plane. So if you're on the plane and the plane is flying on Shabbos, so it's flying, you're not doing anything wrong. It happens. The world goes on. So you'll land on Shabbos and you'll sit in the hotel for a couple of hours. That's what it is. That's life. Well, everything in life has to work out so perfectly. You want to take a risk, so you take a calculated risk. If you have little children with you, you know, maybe you shouldn't take such a risk and then subject your children and your family to such a risk. If you're traveling alone and it gets late and you travel on Shabbos, there's a whole Shulchan Aruch. What do you do? There's a Shulchan Aruch. Deal with it as a responsible person. Don't go be a crybaby and make a Chil Hashem. Everyone has their smartphones and everyone is recording every word that you're saying and the whole world is watching this, the spectacle. And then the next morning you have the chutzpah to go and say, we're suing for $2.5 million. What are you, crazy?
The suit? They say El Al lied to them.
So they lied to them. Very good, they lied to them. El Al is not a from your line. They're not religious people. They're not Nizar and Shabbos. What do you expect? What?
A little respect for the people on the plane.
Don't lie El Al then.
If they lied, they want to go after them.
$2.5 million. Okay, I hear your opinion. I respect your opinion. I respect your opinion. I told you in the very beginning. I know what I'm going to say is very controversial. I know. I'm very well aware. I'm very well aware. There are no facts. There are so many facts.
Do you see what the lawsuit says?
There are so yeah. It says that only the Haredim. They write very carefully. Yeah, yeah. Clear as day.
Really?
Only go look at Yeshiva World News. Only the Haredim. Only the Haredim. No, read what it says there. Only the Haredim are suing the airline. Everyone is reading this. The whole world is reading this. It's a joke. It's not much a joke. It's a, in my, it's a, an incredible Chil Hashem.
My experience of flying is that you're lied to or misled regularly.
Of course.
Really?
Absolutely.
Regularly.
Only life you lie to. Only airline life you misled to. Okay. The reason why I mentioned this is to remember that there's a Shulchan Aruch for a reason. There's a Shulchan Aruch reason because there are times in life where things don't go according to plan. That's the way the world goes. Not everything in life has to be perfect. My Shabbos has to work out perfectly. I have to make a parnasa after a vacation in America and come back the very last minute and I have an expectation that it will work out perfectly. And if it doesn't work out perfectly, I'm entitled. We live in such entitlement, it's just unbelievable. There's a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch assumes that life doesn't always work out perfectly. And there's always a halacha gives you the tools to deal with the situation when it doesn't work out according to your liking. And one of those things is how to daven when you're traveling. Chazal acknowledged that people have to travel. And when they travel, sometimes you can't daven Shimon Esher. So what do you say? You say, Yirotzel Milfanach Hashem Lekim Reveseinu. And if you land early, then daven Shimon Esher again. There are halachas. And we live in an expectation of everything's going to be just perfect, perfect, perfect. The mindset is just totally against everything that it says in Shulchan Aruch. And that's just the point I want to make, is that on the airplane, you know, maybe it's not the right thing to go to the back and block the whole area over there, and everyone gets annoyed. Memoivan, I remember the last time I saw Naidan with the Minion, it was on El Al. It must have been at least 10 years ago, probably even more. And we davened there in the back, and I always wondered about this, but they always say that was like right during, like right after 9/11, not right after, but it was during a tense time. And they have marshals on the plane, right? Every plane supposedly has a marshal. So El Al, they don't have marshals. They say they have armed guards, the real deal. And the rumors were that they sit in the back. They sit in the back. I saw with my own eyes it true. In the back, in the last two seats, there were two Israelis. They were so, how did they describe it? They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do with themselves because they were so bored. I guess they fly back and forth. They had duffel bags at their feet. So someone said to me, you know who's sitting over here in these two seats? These are Shin Bet. These are the armed guards. You know who's in duffel bags? Enough ammunition and grenades to blow up the whole airport. Forget about the plane. To blow the whole airport. And he was right. And these Israelis, they were so bored, and they were drinking away. They gave them, the stewardess kept bringing them beer and all these things. And then they had their fun. Now, these were not religious people, obviously. They were not yet religious people. And then comes the charedim to daven mincha, or shachris, right on top of their head.
We had charedim 10 years ago?
What?
There was charedim 10 years ago?
Whatever. There were people that were davening. So they did not appreciate. And they probably do this every single day. They did not appreciate these from people crowding around them in the back there, davening, shachris, mincha, putting on their tefillin, and they're drunk. They were drunk.
So that's why they couldn't use it for a minute.
They were drunk. And
they did not have weapons in those bags.
They did have weapons in those
bags. They're more disciplined than that. They're not getting drunk if they have weapons. So there's all...
No. I saw your noise. I
didn't see your eyes. You didn't see what they have in their duffel bag.
Had to be.
They're
on duty.
Why do they have duffel bags? Who has duffel bags at their feet? They don't even let you. The students, they take it away from you.
What are they doing there?
Why are the students giving them beer for free? Why are they getting beer for free?
Why are they doing
this?
I don't know. But it was. It made a lot of sense. Things were coming out of their mouths. When we were davening mincha, or whatever we were davening, there were things coming out of their mouth that I don't want to repeat. What? So is this really proper? There's a Shulchan Aruch that tells you what to do. It tells you over here that when you're in such a situation, it says, when you're traveling, how are you supposed to deal with the situation?
Who breaks the Shulchan Aruch, so they call themselves Charedim.
And then they sue.
Okay, I told you that I'm pleased. I brought out the best in you, Mark. I told you I'm going to say it's controversial. I know you'll tell me whatever I'll say. You can say 100% the opposite. That's correct. But at least we had a very pleasant debate, and we brought out the issues. We brought out the issues, and I respect everyone who disagrees. I fully understand where you're coming from, and I respect you. Okay, let's go further. Let us go further. Yes. What? Okay, that's another discussion. There's another. I don't want to be your line. They've been discussing that for years and years and years. Obviously, it's not so simple. They've been discussing this already for years, and nothing came of it. Obviously, it doesn't work. Obviously, there are many reasons why it's not feasible. It's not feasible to do something like this. Separate seating sections, and to have a place where you can dive in. They've been discussing this for years. Obviously, it's not feasible. Let's go further. Amida Keitsa. Let's go further. Here. Let's go further. We'll build the Einan Musalmon in the middle of here, the Tzvila. When you return, then you dive in what you're supposed to do. Then you do, when you come to Yishuv, then you dive in a regular Shemone Esrei. Are there Shemone Dvarim? Where are we on the page? Shemone Dvarim, we don't have that?
Yeah.
Four lines from the bottom. Right? Is that where we have two?
From the top,
on the next page Ayin Hey. Yes, okay. Page Ayin Hey. Four lines from the top. Shemoina Devarim Tsarech Hamispalios Nizvochem Velasas. There are four things that a person has to be careful when he davens. If a person is dochuk, there's very little room. Oy onus, oy shavar, vloy osa oy son, ein ma'akim. A person doesn't have choice. There are eight things that lechatil a person should be careful. If he cannot be careful, it's still a good davening. The Elohein. Amida. The first thing a person should do when he davening, we're talking about the Shemoina Esrei. The most important part of the davening is Shemoina Esrei. When you daven Shemoina Esrei, you should be standing. Number two, Noichach HaMikdash. You're supposed to daven towards the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. East. Okay, in the Chutz La'aretz, most of the time it's east. Tikon HaGuf. The body has to be, we're going to discuss all these things that you put your feet together. Each one of these items is going to be discussed in detail as we go through. Your two feet should be put together like you're a malach. The hashvoyas hakol. Your voice should be low. You're not allowed to disturb someone else. The tikkun hamalbushim, to be properly dressed.
V'tikun hamakom, the place should be a proper environment. And hakriya v'hishtachavoya, sometimes you bow with the knees, and sometimes you do not bow with the knees. Now we're going to go through all of the 8 requirements that are necessary lichatchila for tefillah, but are not ma'akim. The first thing is amid the case that ein maspelim elam umi. You have to stand the shmona esrei. Hayoyshe b'svin. But let's say you're in a boat or bagol in a wagon. Miyachol amud oimed. If you can, you can. Okay, if you can, you can. But if you can't, you can't. Vim laf yoyshe b'mkam espal. Okay, shulchan aruch. It tells you if you can't stand, if you can't go, it's not feasible to stand. You're going to disturb other people. Then sit down. Sit down and daven. And if standing is so important to you, you're so machbid on this, so don't travel at a time. Plan your travels in such a way where you won't have this issue. V'im lav yoyshim b'mekoymu mispalo. Choyle mispalo filu yoyshim. A person is sick, it's hard to stand. You can daven when you're sitting. V'hu sheyochol l'chavidet. A choyle is only chayiv to daven if you can have kavana. If a person cannot have, this is a theme which comes out again and again in the Sefer Hasidim, you only have an obligation to daven if you have yishuv hadas. If you have no clarity of the mind, you have no obligation to daven. Oynish rachmana patre. Today we do it anyway, because even if we have clarity, we are at peace with ourselves, it's still very hard to daven. V'chein hatzameh, if you're hungry, v'haru'ev, harein b'chlal choylim, im yimyesh yecholes l'chaperet. And maybe that's one of the reasons to be blamed zuchus upon people who today eat before they daven. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people today who don't eat. They have a meal. Lubavitch, no secret. Everyone knows that Lubavitch davening starts with Kiddush. You go to a Chabad house. The first thing they do is they have Kiddush. They have a shir. They make Kiddush and they give you food. And you have a nice hearty Kiddush before you daven. Oh, but it says in the pasuk, it says that loy soichlo al dimchem. You're not allowed to eat before you pray for your blood. So the answer is obviously that today we are so weak. We are so weak. If we're going to daven when we are hungry, we're not going to be able to have kavana. And kavana is the most important thing relating to tefillah. So obviously those people who do eat before davening in hotels, they have a breakfast. Some people have a beautiful breakfast before davening and people partake. Obviously, I guess, how can I go to Shacharis knowing what's in that other room? One thing, when I'm at home in Flatbush, there's no food, so no, it's not so hard. How can I go knowing I spent so much money for this vacation and they have such delicacies? I'm not going to be able to daven. And the kavana is the most important thing. It's pikuach nefesh, right? Maybe it is.
I learned that was Shabbos. They eat cake and coffee.
Before Shacharis? Okay, fine. Im yesh yecholes next. Im yesh yecholes l'chav midaitem yispalu. Im lav lo yispal ad she yoichlu v'yishtu. The Sefer HaChassidim even 800 years ago was extremely makel in telling you if you cannot concentrate, then you have permission to eat and drink before you daven. Okay, so here's a limud
schus. The
Chabad
says that.
The
Chabad says that also.
Okay, it's a limud schus. Hayoroichev al gabei behemah. In the Litvish Olam, it's a nadma to do this. To have kiddush to eat. What they do in Chabad, it's just a nadma. But it says here in Sefer HaChassidim, it's saying in Bel, they do this as well. Okay, to eat. Hayoroichev al gabei behemah. Let's say you're riding on an animal. Avpi sheyesh loy mi sheyoiches behemtoi. Al yachar tefiloso lo yereid. Even though you have someone that can help you, I'm going, let me get off the donkey, off the animal, and someone will hold and watch the animal while I go daven. So get off the animal, go daven. The halach is lo yeret, do not descend. See how far he goes?
Wow.
Even though there's someone available, come, we'll clean out the back room for you, and you can go to the back of the airplane and you can daven. It says here, no, don't, because if you're not going to have yishuv hadas in where you're going to daven, better daven sitting on the animal as it's moving along and bumping and moving along, because there you'll be able to concentrate. Better than go and get off the camel, off the animal, and daven, and someone will watch the animal for you. It's just not the same. There's going to be more concentration this way, and therefore you should do it in the proper way. Next.
You see, lo tochlu al adam.
Yes.
It said not to eat before tefillah. What does it mean, lo tochlu al adam?
It means that where there's no need to eat before tefillah, then you're not allowed to. But where there's a need to eat before tefillah, for example,
emergency.
emergency, or if a person is very weak and he cannot concentrate.
This is something good. But
that's what it says. In general, it is forbidden to eat before you daven. You're allowed to drink. You are permitted to take a drink of water. Are you permitted to have a coffee with sugar? Technically, no. You're not allowed to. Sugar is forbidden. And Mishnah Berurah says that the only way you can drink the coffee is with sugar, then you can be makel, and you can put some sugar on your tongue. You can put a sugar cube in your tongue so that the coffee can go down. Sugar. It can go down. But me'ikar hadin, it is forbidden to have any flavoring, anything that's sweet, that is satisfying before davening. The only thing that's permitted is water, or maybe even black coffee. But to have a cup of coffee with sugar is forbidden. And milk is forbidden. Forbidden. However, there are many people who are very lenient in this matter. They will not eat. They're very makbid. They will not eat a meal before they daven. But when they go to the daf yomi early in the morning, they will have a cup of coffee with sugar and milk, because they cannot drink the cup of coffee any other way. And they need the cup of coffee to wake up, to be able to concentrate. So that is all included what we learned above. That if you need to eat or drink in order to be able to concentrate for davening, it is permitted. It is only forbidden when it's not necessary. If it's not necessary, not only is it forbidden to eat, it's forbidden even, Mishnah Berurah is clear, to add sugar, any sweetener. You're putting yourself, your comfort before the Ribbono Shel Olam. The first thing you do in the day is daven to Hashem. Today, obviously, we're very, very lenient in these matters. People take cups of coffee with milk and sugar before davening. That's very, very common. But to go so far to eat food, that's a bit of an extreme. And that obviously should not be done unless you feel the only way you can really succeed in having a good davening is by eating. Then the heter, it is accepted that it is permitted. And there are kihilos which do this. Okay, that's how it is. Next. Alois HaShachar, you're allowed to eat whatever you want. If you want to eat bread, before Alois HaShachar, you have to start a half an hour before Alois HaShachar. But if you only want to take a snack, a mezonos, or you want to have some water or tea, then you could eat until the very, very last second of 72 minutes before sunrise on a fast day. So you can get up early, you can eat until Alois HaShachar, until 72 minutes before sunrise. If you want to have a bread meal, you have to begin the bread meal 30 minutes before 72 minutes. That's going to be 102 minutes. 102 minutes is when you must make the hamotzi. Then you can eat the bread until the very last second, and you can bench after. You do not have to bench before Alois HaShachar. You can bench even after Alois HaShachar. The only thing you have to stop is stop eating at the time of Alois HaShachar.
For the time, you should stipulate at night that I'm getting up to eat.
Yes, I can say that's correct. The person wants to fast, and when you go, the fast technically begins when you go to sleep. That's a very important halacha that David mentioned. That when you go, the fast begins when you go to sleep. If you go to sleep planning that I'm not eating anymore, and then you wake up early, and there's still 15 minutes before Alois HaShachar, you are not allowed to eat. When you went to sleep, that is Kabbalah's Hatainis. If you plan to eat before, the fast, you have to make a condition. You have to state lechatchila, the words should come out of your mouth, or b'diyevi can think that I'm not done yet, I will eat before Alois HaShachar. If you've done this your entire life, and one time you forget to do it, so then you could assume that since this is my custom, I've been doing this my whole life, so many years, it is assumed that's what you're planning to do. But if a person generally, he doesn't do this, he normally goes to sleep and wakes up after the fast already has begun, and this time he got lucky, he just woke up a little bit early, he had to go to the Beis HaKi, he said, oh, I'm up, let me take something to eat, and he never thought about the possibility of eating before the fast, it's too late. When a person goes to sleep, this is considered in halacha to be the beginning of the fast. Next, one more halacha, noichach hamikdash. When a person davens, he should face towards Yerushalayim. Where is Yerushalayim in America? Good question. Is it mamish east? Not exactly. It's a little bit northeast. A little bit south. So therefore, that is one of the heterim that if you have a shul and it's not convenient to put the oroin on the east side, you can put it on the south side. Because the south is also, it's really because it's nishti nishtaher. Where anyway, on the east side, you're not davening mamish towards Yerushalayim. You don't have to be davening on a perfect line. You got a kapis and davening b'diyuk. These two directions are sufficient. It's more east, obviously, than it is south. So b'chatchila, we daven in the eastward direction. But if you can't follow the eastward direction, the south is also not off course. It's also sufficient, and south is okay. To daven north and to daven west is problematic. That should not be done. Let's say you come to a shul where the shul is davening in the wrong direction. It's davening north, and that's not correct. So there's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. And one Mishnah Berurah says if the Olam is not davening either north, either south or east, then you should daven in the correct direction. Don't look what the Olam is doing. Don't follow the Aron Kodesh. You should daven east. Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of Aaron Soloveitchik, the old Beis Medrash, he did not daven, it's what it says in the book, he did not daven ever in the Beis Medrash in Yeshiva University because the Aaron was not east, it was north. So he did not refuse to daven.
Everybody,
Eshel Shechter
told they turn, they face
an angle.
Turn east.
On an angle. That's the common thing with the Aaron is in the wrong place, so you daven on an angle, either towards a little bit towards the east or towards the south. You daven on an angle, so it should not be a direct violation of this halacha. If you're in a shul where everyone is doing the wrong thing, what should you do? There's a stir in the Mishnah Berurah, one place that says that you should daven east or south. Another place says, Al tifreish shminat sibur. Do not be poreish shminat sibur. It looks wrong. It looks like mamish shtei rishuyos. Like shtei, that everyone's davening this way, and you're davening that way. It looks like there are two gods. So there is a stira. They were one of the few stiras in the Mishnah Berurah. There are a whole collection of stiras, and we all know that the Chofetz Chaim did not write the entire Mishnah Berurah. That's a fact. And the Chofetz Chaim, he outsourced the writing of the chunks of the Mishnah Berurah to his children, to his son-in-law, and they wrote sections, and he was the editor. And then when he discovered a contradiction, he felt that even though that what my son-in-law wrote is a contradiction to what I wrote elsewhere, if Hashkocha had it that he wrote this, it must be Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and he left it the way it is. The Mishnah Berurah is very unique. When he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, he viewed it mamish straight from the Ribbono, like he was just an instrument from the Ribbono Shel Olam to put in words halacha to make it easy for people. It's very unique. Maybe that's why it's so successful. It wasn't just he wrote halacha sefer. He allowed the Yad Hashem to be involved in the writing of the Mishnah Berurah. And there are many contradictions in the Mishnah Berurah, and they're all explained to be because he didn't write the whole Mishnah Berurah. We don't know exactly which section he wrote, which he did not write, but this is one of the contradictions. If you're in a shul and everyone is going the wrong way, what should you do? One place daven in the correct direction, another place says, no, al tivrei shminat sibur, do what everyone else is doing. All right, now let's read it inside. Noicha chamei v'shkeitzar, ha'yo'emei v'chutz l'oretz, ma'gzir panav l'kenegin eretz Yisrael, u'mispalel ha'yo'emei b'oretz. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you shall face them Yerushalayim. Mechavein panav noicha beis ha'migdash, ha'yo'emei b'beis ha'migdash. If you're mechavein panav noicha kodshei ha'kodoshim. So when you buy the koysel ha'marabi, which way are you davening? You're davening east. East, okay, that's easy, right? You're davening east. Yeah. But if you're davening on the other side, then you would be davening west. Right. You go on a tour to Har HaZeisim, right. And if you go and you daven mincha near in the vicinity of Har HaZeisim, then you're going to be davening west. A person doesn't know. I don't have a compass on me. I do not know. You're on a plane, you typically do not know. Maybe you do, now we do know. Because now we have all those fancy instruments. But it used to be years ago before they put every seat to give you the direction. And you would not, I don't think the average person knew. Maybe they did, I don't know. to know exactly which direction you are. But if you're in a situation where you do not know where you're davening, or Misha and Yochel Chavon is a ruchot on a plane, you're sitting in your chair. I can't go turn where I want. But Mahalech Besfina, Yechavin, so then you cannot fulfill this. So what's the next best thing to do? Yechavin Esliboy Noichach Hashachina V'Yisbalo, your heart. You think that I'm davening towards Hashem, where the Mokom Hashchina is. Even though the Hashem is everywhere, there's a greater intensity. Hashem is everywhere, but there is a greater intensity of Shechina at the Kosel HaMaravi than there is in Brooklyn. Hashem is in Brooklyn also, but the intensity of Hashem's presence at the Kosel HaMaravi is much, much greater. So therefore, you should have in your heart to be directed to the place in this world where there is the greatest degree of intensity of Hashem's Shechina. So far, we're going to be two Yisoides. Number one, L'chadchila, a person should stand, the Oymel of the HaMelech. Number two, a person should be mechavin, he should direct, he should be facing the Beis HaMikdash, which normally is east, and it's related halachas, and Mishnah will pick up on this next time. Mishnah will pick up tomorrow.
You know, the length of the Kotel Maravi is 500 meters.
Okay.
Some in this part, and the other one on the other one of the... Of the land, there is a tunnel, you go inside, Kotel Maravi and the Shavuot Hashim. I was there at after midnight, 2 hours, 3 hours, and they wanted to close the door. They came and told me, please, we want to close it. The ladies are coming crying because the Kodesh Shodashim is more close to the Kotel Maravi. Therefore, it is very important.
You don't get to the day that two or three people face the east, because the Aron is north.
North,
right. I was in a lab dressing room there just well. You were davening north then. It was
davening north, that's right. You're in a lab, davening north, that's right. All relative to where you are.
Yeah. Cool. Go ahead, carry on. I spoke to you. Remember the Mujahara?
Who?
The Mujahara.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I understand. So I remember there was a Medibber, there was a room over here, and said there was something circulating. And it was a deep trove. I wanted to verify if he indeed said that. It was true. I spoke to him.
What did he say?
This is what was circulating. Two things. He said, Mincha, the Mishmur writes very clearly, rather down the Shkiyas with a minute before, without a minute before the Shkiyah, and then to down with a minute after the Shkiyah. He writes this clearly. He feels that Mishmur did not write that. He says the son was like, it cannot be with a minion that this should takes precedence.
Okay, what else? What else?
Yeah. Pizza. You never have to wash your skin. You eat a whole pizza pie, you never have to wash. You know why? You always on the run. No. Because there's no food. No, he hasn't been to pizza bar.
I hear what he says.
But that doesn't make sense to me. People eat a soup. They sit down.
I hear.
I said the people are always on the run.
I hear.
So I wanted to verify that he talks like that. Okay, be well. Have to go.
Thank you very much.
Take a ticket that goes to you, basically. Not mistake. Use a ticket with you, stay. He has to position his feet. He has to put it together. I understood he has to collar himself.
Okay, we have some time until Mincha. Okay, Rabbi, so maybe we'll discuss two topics. If we have time, we'll learn two topics. If not, we'll learn one topic.